Let's talk about two problems regarding friendships. The first problem is what's called being unequally yoked. Unequally yoked is a term from St. Paul that's now referred to married couples or couples who are dating where one spouse or one partner is spiritually stronger than the other, and they're what's called unequally yoked. So you imagine that animals are sometimes joined across the neck with a big wooden beam, and they're yoked together. But if you have two animals that are of different strength, different speed, different size, they're called unequally yoked. So a lot of times in my experience as a priest, one spouse will come to me and they'll admit, I'm not as close to God as my spouse. Now, typically it's the father, it's the husband who will say this. And he will reveal privately, he's intimidated by his wife. And he will think, I can't keep up spiritually with her. And because she excels, and he doesn't really excel, what he does subconsciously, he says, I can't keep up, so I'm going to give up. And he won't focus on spiritual things anymore. Some of us men, we might actually feel a sense of inferiority. We think, well, we're supposed to lead our family. But because we're passive, we get discouraged. Of course, this can happen to women too. It's not as common. But a woman, if she's married to a very virtuous man, she might actually think, I feel unworthy to be married to such a good husband. That's the first problem with regard to friendship. The second problem is we have no friends, spiritual friends. A very holy person, he once said to me, in a great act of vulnerability, he said, I don't have any spiritual friends. And he's really, really devout Catholic. And when he said that, his vulnerability, his humility really struck me. So a lot of us don't have spiritual friends who will challenge us and support us in our ups and downs of faith. The very short second reading has three insights for us regarding friendship. It says, from Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, together with all those who are in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Three insights from this little reading. First insight, St. Paul had friends. He had co-workers in God's vineyard. Now, a lot of scholars, they point out, Sosthenes is actually a co-author here. His name is actually mentioned. Well, what's so important about that? In ancient Greek letters, this is really rare. One scholar found this only happened 6 times in 645 ancient Greek letters. 6 out of 645. Very rare. But in St. Paul, he wrote 13 letters. We have 13 of his letters. He has a co-author 8 times. 8 out of 13. Why does he always have a co-author? Because he's not a lone ranger. He has spiritual friends. And he calls Sosthenes a brother. Because the early Christians, they saw themselves as a real family. Every Christian needs spiritual friends. And the litmus test of a spiritual friend is that they talk about Christ. So in this very short reading from St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, St. Paul mentions Christ's name 4 times. And in the whole introduction to this first letter, he mentions Christ's name 9 times. So if we don't talk about Jesus with our friends, that's not a spiritual friendship. It might be a great friendship, and that's really good. If you don't talk about Jesus, what he's doing in your life, your relationship with him, that person is not a spiritual friend. I hope it's a really good friend, but they're not spiritual. Second insight from this reading. What do we know about Sosthenes? And the answer is almost nothing. So he could be, in Acts of the Apostles, the ruler of a Corinthian synagogue. When St. Paul arrives in that city, that Sosthenes gets beaten up. That's about as much as we know about him. Now, what does that tell us? It tells us that the great missionary, St. Paul, like, we know so much about him, one of the greatest missionary saints ever. His co-worker is not as holy as he is. And so you might say they are unequally yoked in their mission. What does that mean? Sosthenes did not let that stop him from trying to become a saint. Sosthenes tried to become a saint according to his own path. So, if we are married to someone who's much holier than we are, and that discourages you, don't let it discourage you. So what? You try to become a saint according to your own path. Third insight. St. Paul writes, he says to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. So he's referring to people who have already been baptized. If you're baptized, you've already been sanctified, but you're not yet fully there. You're still called to become a saint. You have to strive to be worthy of that opportunity given you in baptism. The best kind of spiritual friendship is with another Christian who wants to become a saint. Not just any Christian, that Christian wants to be a saint. We said in September, the essence of friendship, what's the essence of friendship? In antiquity, they said in Latin, idem vele atque idem nolle. Idem vele atque idem nolle. That means two friends, if you're really friends, you'll want the same things and you'll reject the same things. Now, for me, I can be friends with many people, but I can never be truly a spiritual friend with them unless they also want to become a saint. If they don't want to become a saint, they'll never really understand my heart. They'll never really understand what directs my whole life. So we've got two problems. I now want to give you some solutions. If we are in an unequally yoked marriage, one person is closer to God than the other, I'm going to give you two solutions. Solution number one, divorce. But since that's not a good option, let's go to solution number two. Solution number two is grow holier. Okay? Grow holier. Sosthenes' life, again, it points out that our goal is to become a saint according to our own path. So if you've got a wife who's really holy, well, you're not supposed to become like a carbon copy of her. You're not supposed to become like a mirror image of her. You've got your own path. You know, in every point in my spiritual life, at these critical points in my spiritual life, I was always behind. When I first went to the seminary, Christ the King Seminary in Mission, I was way behind the other guys. They were all ahead of me. They all knew so much more about the faith. They knew so much more about prayer. And I always had to catch up. So I had to ask many more questions. But at the end of 4 years of philosophy, I knew as much as they did. And when I got to New York, there's so much I had to learn about the American church. They all knew more than I did. But at the end of 4 years of theology, I was top of my class. Now, it was only a class of 11 people. But as my friend said, hey man, still top of your class. I'll take it. So if you're married to a wife who's really holy, stop complaining. That's great. Be thankful that you're married to a very holy person. And you too can catch up. One of the most spiritually mature things we can do that will catapult us instantly closer to God is an act of humility. So let's say we're thinking, oh man, I'm not as close to God as that other person. You might want to say to your spouse, can you help me grow spiritually? And that will help you grow instantly. If we're a man and we say this to our wife, that will actually make us more masculine. Because real men admit when they need help. Real men take ownership for their spiritual growth. Now let's say we're in an unequally yoked marriage or relationship, and we're the ones who are more spiritually advanced. What do you do then? Well, then you love your spouse even more. And you pray for them and you serve them. Don't try to fix your spouse. We all want to help people grow. When we fix them, what I mean by fixing is we're trying to make them better for our own sake. There are two spiritual authors. They're experts in the spiritual life. Dan and Stephanie Burke, a married couple. They say one temptation for a very devout spouse is to move away from her spouse. She loves, usually the wife, she loves God so much that she actually starts to distance herself away from her husband. That's a temptation. Now, of course, God comes first, and our spouse could never force us into sin, But we just want to be very aware, am I distancing myself from my spouse? This is a very complicated topic, but our love for Jesus, our desire to become a saint, should lead us to serve our spouse more and spend time with them.